Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thank you for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to get a vocations update from Father Jordan Sampson, who is the Associate Director along with Father Sean Haggerty. He will talk to us over the phone. We're going to catch up on a lot of the things going on, including a special trip that's coming up. So I think you might want to see if that might be an opportunity for you or someone you know. Hope you will stick around for that interview. Renee Krantz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Don Wolfe with the first and second reading. Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
Measles, chickenpox, and other diseases are making a comeback as more parents are choosing not to vaccinate their children out of fear of side effects, especially with regard to the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. Skeptics are concerned it leads to sickness, autism, or death. But doctors, physicians, and immunologists have come forward to debunk the anti-vaccination movement, and the Catholic Church has joined them. A long supporter of vaccines, the Church continues to advocate for their use. Religious groups, doctors, and people of science are continuing their fight to inform parents who are doubtful of the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported in late May that measles cases in the United States have spiked to 971 so far this year, the highest number in any single year since 1994. The CDC has debunked concerns about links between vaccines and autism. Masses for the vigil of the Feast of Pentecost and for Pentecost were celebrated at the Co-Cathedral of St. Thomas More in Tallahassee, Florida, with the scars left by a June 5th fire in the sanctuary still very visible. An arrest has been made since the fire filled the church with smoke and burned three chairs, including the bishop's chair, and charred the walls. When firefighters arrived, resting atop one of the chairs was a burnt Bible. Luckily, the fire was caught in time and didn't spread to other parts of the cathedral. No injuries were reported. An investigation led officials to determine the cause was arson. Seth Johnson, 32, was arrested and charged with first-degree felony arson. If convicted, he could face 30 years in prison. A new law in Quebec prohibits the wearing of religious symbols or clothing by some government employees, including public school teachers, state lawyers, judges, and police officers. The National Council of Canadian Muslims announced June 17th it will legally challenge the new bill. Some last-minute amendments concerning surveillance provisions made the law more stringent than anticipated. The bill sparked controversy and heated debates. Many feared it might alienate some citizens, especially Muslim women. Most religious groups, including Christians and Muslims, were not invited to participate in May's hearings at a National Assembly commission. The Archbishop of Paris wore a hard hat as he celebrated the first Mass in Notre Dame Cathedral since a huge blaze devastated the landmark building in April. The Mass was celebrated in the Chapel of the Virgin June 15th by Archbishop Michel Aupetit to mark the anniversary of the consecration of the cathedral's altar, an event that usually takes place June 16th of each year. About 30 invited guests wore protective headgear because of dangers of falling masonry, although the Virgin Chapel, situated behind the choir, has been designated as safe. In his homily, the Archbishop did not mention the fire, but stressed the purpose of Notre Dame as a place of Christian worship and not an ornament of the secular state. He said the building could never be reduced to a cultural or patrimonial good, and warned the congregation that if Jesus was removed as the cornerstone, it would collapse in a spiritual rather than a physical sense. Following the successful cooperation on the 2016 restoration of the edicule in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the leaders of the three churches who serve as guardians of the holy site have signed an agreement to continue with restorations, this time on the pavement and foundations around the tomb. The edicule shrine is revered by Christians as the site of the remains of the cave where Jesus was buried and rose from the dead. During its 10-month restoration, it was determined that the 19th century structure remained endangered because of the humidity of the soil beneath the foundations of the church, and further work was needed to stabilize it. The Greek Orthodox, Catholics, and Armenian Orthodox agreed to the floor project. With the news, this is Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Renee, I couldn't help but notice the fire theme this morning, for one thing, building theme. And I did see those photos with the hard hat, the Archbishop wearing the hard hat, and that was a remarkable thing to see.
I bet it was, yeah.
Really remarkable. All right, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Jordan Sampson, who works on the vocations topic for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, along with Father Haggerty. They work as vocations directors for the diocese. Father, every once in a while we like to get a little update and talk about, you know, the things of the vocations world. And I know that there's some things, you know, on the docket that are coming up that we can tell folks about this morning. So looking forward to having a conversation. Glad you could join us.
Great. Thanks to be here. Thanks, Jerry.
So Father Jordan also is at the Newman Center in Aberdeen and at Northern's Newman Center. So it's not like you probably end up twiddling your thumbs very much, Father. You end up having a lot of different responsibilities and going a lot of different directions.
Oh, yeah. Summer is just a different beast when you're a Newman Center chaplain. Norman State, obviously, is out of school, and so the Newman Center is quite shut down and empty right now, besides a few random events. But I'm spending the last 2 weeks up here in Bismarck, at Conference Fo University of Mary. But a beautiful campus. I'm up here for focus training.
Very good.
So there's it's really quite amazing. Like 450 missionaries from around the nation here come up to Bismarck, North Dakota for training.
That's fantastic.
It's been a beautiful time.
And we're lucky in our diocese, blessed I should say, probably in our diocese, that we have focus missionaries at I think three of our campuses now, right?
Right, yeah, Vermilion USD, and then SDSU in Brookings, and Northern State in Aberdeen. We all have four or five missionaries per campus. So focus is a big part of our formation going amongst our youth in our diocese.
And doesn't that play right into the vocations world? I mean, I think, don't we have some sense that if people have a deeper appreciation, a better understanding of their faith, that they're probably more open to whatever vocation God might be calling them?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of good formation going on amongst them. I feel like you can send a lot of our kids out of high school going into some of these public universities, and they're getting some really good formation in the faith, prayer experiences, retreats, all because a lot of the reason active Newman centers that are enlivened by focus being present on our campuses. So, no, it's just really good field to do some recruiting for vocations on our campuses here, right in our own state.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad you're up there and enjoying that opportunity, and obviously going to bring it back to your work at Northern State University, and probably your work as vocations director too.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You know, and even like some of our students from our diocese go to other campuses outside of state. It's really interesting to see all the South Dakotans who are up here who are actually being missionaries and serving for Focus somewhere around the nation.
Yeah, so. It's a good sign. It's a real good sign. And I think a sign of hope, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. It's hard to be down about the church when you're up here with 450, you know, 22 to 27-year-olds excited about their faith, praying together, going to Mass. It's really amazing. A lot of hope.
That's great. I do want to make sure we mention a couple of times this morning. I know one of the events that you have coming up is a trip. It's an experience that I know the Vocations Office has done in the past, a kind of a Rocky Mountain. I don't know if we call it a mountaintop experience, but sort of. I think that's the idea. But an opportunity for young men who may be considering seminary, who may be thinking about that opportunity to discern, to kind of get away and do a trip like this. So I know you got one coming up.
We do. Father Hagerty has dubbed it an expedition, Rocky Mountain expedition. 3 years in a row we did it. Last year we took a little break, and we're bringing it back this year. We're going to Wyoming, the Rocky Mountains in Wyoming, and it's July 28th to August 3rd. July 28th to August 3rd. We're still looking for people to sign up. If we don't fill this out here soon, we're going to look at it. There's some different options, but we're still looking for people to sign up. 16 and older men who would be open to discerning a vocation, be open to going hiking, really. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not thinking about the priesthood, like, you want to come hiking with us? We got 4 seminarians, myself, hopefully another priest. Father Hagerty's busy, so he actually isn't coming on this trip this year. But yeah, we're still looking to fill a few spots to get this filled out and head out to Wyoming in late July, early August, that Sunday to Saturday. So I'm excited for it.
So say a little bit more about why a young man who's, you know, maybe on the fence, or, you know, maybe not even sure that this is the direction they want to go, or, you know, maybe they just don't have enough experience to know that they're even considering it themselves. Why would a young man consider this as a way to help them discern?
Man, I think the huge value of this trip is that you get away from your phone. If you put it very bluntly,
yeah,
you get away from technology, you get away from your normal life, and just the value of being out in the nature, being out where you're kind of secluded. You're with a bunch of guys who are praying, we're going to Mass, you're looking at the beauty that's all around you. I think it really gives all of us just a chance to pray, reflect, listen to what God is doing in our own hearts. It's just a kind of a unique opportunity to pull away from the world, kind of that whole sense of retreat.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do that broom tree, but something about camping out in the wilderness, hiking in the beauty of nature, that I think really draws our hearts and helps us be attentive to what the Lord is doing in our prayer life. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity for anyone who's even just, I don't know, open to the idea. Any young man who doesn't know what his vocation is yet, hey, we're just going to pray. We're not going to force anyone to do anything that they're not called to do.
Right.
But to simply give that opportunity, give that space for the Lord to speak and for our hearts to listen.
That whole thing about, you know, the time away from technology sounds, you know, it sounds really appealing, and yet we're all reluctant to do it, aren't we? I mean, I think about what you and I are doing right now. We're doing this interview. We're doing it over the phone. You're using your cell phone. I'm using my cell phone to time, you know, what we're doing. I mean, we absolutely are tied to this stuff, and it
totally.
And it binds us in ways that we don't even want to be bound, I think.
It does. It definitely does. I'm really impressed with focus, actually. Fellowship of Catholic University students, where I am right now. I'm impressed in how they use technology well. Like right now I'm talking to you, and there's kind of this connection. They do a lot of FaceTime spiritual direction. They do a lot of FaceTime cell phone discipleship with friends and mm-hmm. Bible studies even over the use of technology. So it's been refreshing to see technology used well, because so often it's not.
Yeah.
So often we're not using it well. We're not using it to further relationship. We're not using it to deepen our faith. But I've seen it done well here, which is really refreshing.
Yeah, that's encouraging. I'm glad to hear that. And again, if you're a young man, if you know a young man, you know, maybe you have somebody in your family that you think might benefit from an experience like this. Again, as Father said, if you're open to the idea of considering your vocation, you're probably eligible to go if you're 16 and over. Am I saying
that
right? Yeah,
that's right. And you're not married.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly right. If somebody's listening today and has a curiosity about this, wants to learn a little bit more, what's the best way to do that?
You know, go to our vocations website at SF Vocations. You can get to it through the Diocesan website.
Yep.
What is that, Jerry?
sfcatholic.org, and then click on the Vocations Ministry.
There you go.
That'll take you right
there
to
you
it.
Go. Yep. And then, email us, email Father Hager, to email myself, especially in reference to this trip to Wyoming. But all that advertisement is on there. Hopefully you see it in your parish on your bulletin boards, because we've sent out flyers to all the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
That information is on there as well.
Yeah. And again, if it might be yourself, it might be somebody else that you know, and you think, they ought to at least know about this. And you know, that's part of our call to be part of vocations too, isn't it? I mean, we're all, as baptized Christians, it's our responsibility to help others figure out their vocations.
Totally. I hope to continually put in front of pastors, parishes, parents. Are you just being attentive to young people and seeing their gifts and talents and just encouraging them? Say, hey, are you praying about this? Are you seeing that you have a deep spiritual life? Are you seeing that maybe you could be called to religious life? And just putting that thought in the forefront of their mind so that they can pray about it themselves, can at least consider it as an option, because someone has recommended it to them or made them aware of their own gifts and abilities. I think it's definitely something we all are responsible for in vocations, not just Father Hagerty and myself.
Yeah.
We can't be everywhere.
So, no.
The help of the lay people and pastors and their parishes, they know their people. That awareness is so helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know it's a lot of times not that people aren't even aware of something inside them, maybe a little inkling, maybe a nudge of some sort or another, but sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's, you know, what's going on in the world seems too daunting to even think about it. But I look at young guys like you, frankly, Father, who have endured through some really challenging times and found tremendous joy. And I think that's a great witness to a young man who may not even know.
Right. Well, thank you. I just turned 35. So, you know,
you're still young.
Yeah. Oh man, and you're right. I mean, these are challenging times. You look at the news, you look at the church as a whole, you look at the scandals, just to call it out, right? We all know what's happened and what continues to happen. And you know what? I am so grateful to be a priest. I love this life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to be in our diocese, so happy to be a Catholic, and so happy to be a Catholic priest. And I think what better time to be involved in our faith than now? Because what does the church need? It continually needs renewal. It continually needs the faithful to be faithful and to know their faith, to love their faith, to live their faith. And so I think it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
I think it's an exciting time in the church. I think the seminaries are, again, great places to be. My experience, 2003 when I entered, all the way to 2011 when I got ordained. Such a beautiful experience, very good, very healthy. And so I can't say that enough, emphasize that enough. A lot of dysfunction, still there, of course, but also a lot of it, reforms have happened. We're seeing things that have been happening for decades. And so, what a gift to see this renewal happen. It has to happen within our own hearts, in our own lives, first and foremost.
Well, and it's a challenge in so many ways, because the incidents that, you know, that have brought the church to where it is, for the most part, happened an awful long time ago. It's horrible that they happened. It's horrible that anyone was harmed. But to help people understand that, you know, I, like you just said, the seminaries are safe places for young men. Our church is absolutely vigilant about making sure that our children are safe, that our adults are safe. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that. And, you know, frankly, the proof is that we have pretty safe places. We have pretty safe parishes.
We do. And as Bishop always says, you know, any victims of abuse or anyone who's been wronged by the church, they're encouraged to come forward.
So, absolutely.
You know, they're encouraged to reach out and to seek help in any way that they can, any way the church can help. I think Bishop Swain's been so supportive of that. Because we're all, it still happens. it still can happen. And we are constantly vigilant, I think, to be aware of any of that dysfunction that might be happening even today, to really snuff that out as soon as you can. And it's a great place here in our diocese of Sioux Falls. And I think a lot of hope, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So we see the fruit of that in the long run. Of course, you know, we know there's a long discernment process for men who are considering the priesthood. But not long ago, we had ordinations for both the diaconate and for priesthood. We had one for each this year, although another diaconate to come this fall. But those are the times of great joy, I know, certently for vocations directors, certainly for the bishop, and for all of the diocese, because we do see, you know, we really see the love of God, I think, come through, the love of God for all of us come through in the ordination of a new member of the clergy.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Deacon Tim Cohn's ordination to the priesthood, that was so moving for me. Mm-hmm. Every ordination, and Bishop Swain says that, but every ordination for us priests is a reminder of that day for us. And I tell you, I sat through that ordination, and my heart was so, in more than the last 8-7 years since my ordination, this one was like really moving for me. Not because of Tim Cohn, he's a great guy, but just listening to the words again and hearing them and being renewed in my own priesthood.
Yeah.
And after the year we've had, I think the Lord is giving us special graces.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah, I think that's right, isn't it? That it's in the deepest, sometimes the deepest sorrow or the deepest trouble, as when the Lord reaches out and touches us and gives us that that sense of great joy.
That's right. I think we should. Whenever we're feeling like everything is falling apart, just to see and wait and what the Lord is doing for renewal.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that as we've kind of alluded to here, the numbers maybe aren't exactly what we would like in terms of seminarians. We've been so blessed for so many years with a large, really, is for the size of our diocese, a really large number of seminarians. Maybe we're kind of drifted back to more normal numbers, at least for the moment. But again, the numbers are they don't tell the whole story, I don't think. And I think that we don't want to focus on that particularly much. It's more what we're saying about making sure people are open and know of the opportunities.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, our numbers are down. We're going to have 14 to 16 seminarians coming into this fall. Looks like that's what the number is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 10 guys discern out this past year. And I said this at the fishing tournament, that that can be disheartening, but also on this end, this is my first year in the associate vocations role, to listen to the men discern out and to listen to their process of making that decision with peace.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been so joyful. It's been so beautiful to watch and to listen to them with peace, with confidence, say, you know what, I'm not called to this.
Yep.
And this is the goal, to help men discern, help them grow in their faith, help them discern what God is calling them to. And you know, if they're not called to the priesthood, then, you know, get out of here. Go get married. Go live your life.
Right.
As a faithful Catholic man. And so, yeah, it's disheartening to look at the numbers, but it's we should be joyful with good discernment. And that's what's happening in the seminaries.
And I would say, that, again, to those who may be considering or who have sons or grandsons or friends who are considering, what a wonderful witness, what a wonderful example to say, you know, just because you went to the seminary doesn't mean you're going to be a priest. There's a whole process here. And a successful discernment may lead to priesthood. It may not.
Right, totally. I feel like we should get up all those men who've discerned out to, you know, they're in their diocese.
Yeah.
Get them together sometime.
Yeah.
Then do some recruiting for us.
It's a powerful group, actually. And, you know, yeah. I include myself among them. And I know what that time did for me. I know what that time did for me to make me a better man. And so I'm happy to share that story with people because I hope it helps them to know, you know, how this all kind of comes together. Oh. Father, just a minute or so left this morning. I do want to go back to the trip, and then anything else that you want to make sure we at least mention this morning.
Sure. I just want to comment on one thing. Was we did have a successful Abbey of the Hills retreat for 12 to 16-year-old boys early June. Father Hagerty pulled that off with four seminarians. I was there for half of it. Beautiful time. So you can look for that hopefully next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Wyoming trip, again, July 28th to August 3rd, it's outfitted by, everything's provided for you. We don't have to provide a whole lot ourselves this year. We hired an outfitter to do that for us.
Nice.
Through Wyoming Catholic College. They're Catholic outfitters, so they're going to let us pray and do talks and have mass while we hike. But yeah, we're looking for some men to come and join us on that trip, and I'm excited for it. It's been a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful opportunity, and I hope it's a beautiful trip for you. Again, sfcatholic.org, click on the Vocations Ministry, and you will find out information about that and everything else that's going on in the vocations world. Father Sampson, great to have this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. You're good.
Once again, I want to remind you, if you're interested in any of the vocations information that the Father talked about this morning, sfcatholic.org, click on the Ministry for Vocations. That's our time for the day. We'll be back next Sunday.